Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Advanced Studio Classroom. My name is Brandon. Today we are on page 18 as we begin our travel article. And I have two wonderful panelists in the studio with me. First, I would like to introduce Charlotte. Welcome, Charlotte.
Hi, everybody.
Charlotte, do you enjoy traveling?
I love traveling.
Wow. Well, you have a lot to offer today as we start our travel article talking about over-tourism. We'll get into that in just a moment. We also have Josh here with us today. Welcome, Josh.
Thank you, Brandon. It's good to be back here on Advanced Radio.
And you also enjoy traveling?
I do. My wife and I try to travel as much as we possibly can.
Okay. Well, what does our deck say? We actually have some things we can talk about just from the deck. What does it tell us, Charlotte?
It says we're going to take a look at travel challenges, solutions for packing electronics, and how to save money on your next trip.
Okay, the first one is travel challenges, and that's what we will discuss today. Charlotte, can you give us a challenge that maybe you've been through on one of your trips around the world?
Sure. Well, I was recently traveling in Dubai, and it is a huge city, and it can be really hard to navigate, especially when you maybe don't have Wi-Fi and you can't access your Google Maps or anything on your phone when you're traveling. So getting around can be definitely a challenge in a new place.
It can, and we have lots of tools at our disposal these days that help us, but it can still be a challenge. How about you, Josh?
I think my biggest challenge is waking up late when I'm supposed to be at the airport.
So whoa.
There have been times when I've sort of stretched myself just a little bit in planning ahead of time, wanting to leave really early in the morning, of course, in order to get the most out of my day. But if I spend late until the evening packing and only have a couple hours of sleep, that can put you in a dangerous situation of missing your taxi to get to the airport.
I'm right there with you. If I have a big trip coming up, I will often be up the night before packing, especially if it's if I'm going to be gone for a couple of weeks, long trip. And if it's a really long flight, it's sort of okay because you can sleep on the flight, whatever. But missing your flight is terrible. Have you ever missed a flight, Charlotte?
No, but once I had the day wrong and I went a day early, and then I got to the airport. Oh, it's not till tomorrow, but unfortunately it was a 3-hour drive to the airport, so it's a bit inconvenient.
That is inconvenient, but at least it was the day before, not
right.
Like the day after. I did miss a flight once when I was in college soon after college, and I just didn't get to the airport in time. Thank God they didn't charge me too much, or maybe I don't think they charged me anything because I got there not too long after the flight left, and so that was a blessing. But that's not fun to miss a flight, right? And so that's just one challenge. There are many other challenges. We're talking about actually some different kinds of challenges today, particularly when it comes to over-tourism. Tomorrow we will be talking about solutions for packing electronics. Maybe you're thinking of carrying those on your flight. What should you do with them? We'll learn about that tomorrow. And the third one is really big, Charlotte, how to save money on your next trip.
Right. I think that takes a little bit of planning. And unlike you two, I usually start packing a week or two before I go. And so I think saving money and packing are all things that you can, you know, reading articles like this might help you in your planning process as well.
So you sound like you are a planner, Charlotte. Is that true?
That is true.
That is really helpful, especially when it comes to trips. Actually, when it comes to taking a vacation, I love to go with planners because they like to plan or they are willing to plan, and I can tag along. Are you more of a planner as well, Josh?
Well, I am sort of a planner.
Okay.
So I actually have a travel kit that is packed, and I have sort of a default sort of list of things that I can go through
nice.
So that I can pack up and take off at a moment's notice, which has happened before. But for some of the bigger trips, I do like to plan well in advance.
That's great. Well, I know who I should travel with if I'm taking a trip, because it's important to plan, but not everyone's a planner. Some people just like to wing it, right? Well, we are on page 18, so if you have your Advanced magazine, go ahead and open it up. You can follow along with us. Also, if you have your digital device, you can follow along there. Right now, we will have our first reading for today.
Travel and Transportation Tips. A look at travel challenges, solutions for packing electronics, and how to save money on your next trip. Venue and park operators search for solutions to over-tourism. So many tourists head up to the Hollywood sign to snap selfies that Los Angeles Mayor Eric Garcetti has suggested building a gondola to reduce congestion on nearby streets and hiking trails. At Zion National Park in Utah, the crowds are so heavy that park officials are considering a congestion management plan that would require visitors to make reservations. Disneyland has become so packed that the theme park adopted a ticket policy to offer lower prices during slow periods and higher prices for more popular times. Across the United States, people have been trekking to national parks, theme parks, and other tourist attractions in record numbers during the last few years, creating an unexpected problem for the tourism industry. Too many customers. Without a solution, operators fear that long lines and unruly crowds ultimately will turn off future visitors.
Okay, so venue and park operators, they're looking for solutions to a problem. What is the problem, Josh?
The problem is too many visitors.
Yes, and they are calling this over-tourism, and we have it in quotation marks there. I don't know that this is a real word. I guess they're trying to make this word up, but it works, right? We get the idea of what they're talking about. There are too many people in a lot of these places, Charlotte.
Right, and the word in the title here, venue, just means place, maybe a place that has some kind of attraction. So, and park could be talking about a national park, or it could also be talking about an amusement park.
Okay, now both of you have traveled a lot. Have you been to some places where you thought, wow, there's just way too many people in this place?
Absolutely. This past summer, I was in California, and at Universal Studios, they have a little display that tells you how long you have to wait before you can get into the line. And when I saw 2 hours for that one, I'm just going to skip it.
Right. That's a long time to wait. Josh?
So there have been a lot of places that we've planned ahead of time by looking at reviews, especially on review sites, about how crowded places are. And we usually see if we can find, especially for really popular places, if there's a good off season or off time, still be able to enjoy it, but not have the crowds, because it's difficult to get good pictures or to really enjoy a place if you're really just in a sea of people.
That's true. And the weather makes a difference as well. Like if it's hot and crowded.
Sure.
It's not a good combination. I remember one time many years ago when I was a kid, we went to Disney World in Orlando, Florida, but we went over a holiday. It was actually Independence Day weekend or something in America, and so that was a terrible idea to go to Disney World during that time because it was super crowded. And, you know, I guess I still had a good time. I don't really remember that much because it was many years ago. But you really need to choose, the times that you go, choose wisely, and try to go during the off season. As we start, this article says so many tourists head up to the Hollywood sign. So this is in California, of course. And Charlotte, you said you went there recently, or last year, I believe. Did you go to this area?
Well, from downtown Hollywood, you can usually see the sign pretty well, but your photos might not look that nice because sometimes the air is not so clear. So I can see why people would want to hike up closer to the sign or to the nearby street so that they could get that real picture that
they
want.
That's right. And there are so many people there. And so the mayor has suggested building a gondola to reduce congestion on nearby streets. And many of you listeners probably are familiar with a gondola, but if you're not, Josh will remind us of what it means.
Well, a gondola, so another word for gondola would be a cable car. So that would be a form of transportation that's suspended in the air that people can get into in order to access a place higher up.
Okay, so that's the mayor's idea. We'll see if that happens. And then we move on to Zion National Park. This is in the state of Utah. and that is in the western part of the United States. And it says the crowds are so heavy that park officials are considering a congestion management plan. And you would actually have to make reservations, and so maybe that will cut down on some of the visitors.
Right, and I think this word congestion is kind of interesting because we often use it to talk about traffic. But the other place we might use it is when you have a cold. You might have nasal congestion. Mm. It means that things are not flowing through. But I can imagine at a national park, they're not just worrying about crowds, but they probably also want to protect the environment there by not having too many people walking all over everything.
That's true. Josh, have you been to any of the major national parks in the United States?
I've been really fortunate in that even growing up, my parents sort of made a point in order to visit a lot of the national parks, especially in the central and western United States. Mm-hmm. And there are some areas in the U.S. that are currently or have for a long time been under sort of this management plan where to especially sensitive areas, they limit the number of people that can access that part. So good example would be along the Colorado River and the Grand Canyon. Mm-hmm. It's a very popular area to go whitewater rafting. But in order to get a permit to do so, usually you have to wait years in order to be able to get access to go on a trip there just because it's so popular and they want to keep the numbers down.
Right.
So it's a little bit surprising because Zion is not one of the biggest national parks, but it's a pretty good-sized park. So it is surprising to think that for such a good-sized park, they would really have to reduce the number of visitors by adding a reservation system.
Well, parks are not the only crowded places. We also see that amusement parks, a different kind of park, they are also very crowded. And I mentioned Disney World, you know, when I was a kid going there, it was crowded, but they mentioned here in the article Disneyland, and it has become very crowded, hasn't it?
It really has. There's a lot of people there, and so the park has tried to adopt a new policy that would maybe manage this a little bit by the way that they price the tickets.
So they've offered lower prices during slow periods and higher prices for those peak seasons or the popular periods, but it hasn't really helped much. The crowds are still there. So what they've done, they have three different prices, it looks like, starting as low as $97, and then it increases to $110 on what's called regular days and $124 on peak days. And I believe if you go onto the website, they'll have different days throughout the month that you can choose, and they have different prices, I guess, based on how busy they are during those days. And so it hasn't seemed to help much. People are just flocking to Disneyland. Well, across the United States, people have been trekking to national parks and theme parks and other locations during the last few years, and it's created a big problem, hasn't it?
It has created a big problem. So usually this is not the kind of thing that people in the tourism industry are worried about. Like, they're worried about not having enough people show up.
Yeah.
Because obviously you don't make as much money if you don't have enough people. But this is an interesting problem. They have too many people show up. And I think it's interesting when they get on here as to why that could really be a problem for tourism destinations.
Yeah, that should be great for business, right? You have too many customers, you have more money.
Exactly, but in the end, in the long run, people might get tired of waiting in line for 2 hours for a ride, or they might even start getting a little bit unruly, as it says here.
That's right, unruly meaning they're difficult to control. The crowds are difficult to control. And it might be a turnoff. People see that they have to wait in line for 2 hours, they'll think, well, I won't come here anymore.
Exactly.
And that's what I would do. I don't want to wait in line for 2 hours for hardly anything. Some people are okay with that, but I like to go where there are fewer people, and so crowds would be a turnoff for me.
It's true, and you know, I had said before that I usually look at places ahead of time to see when the super busy seasons is so that I don't go there. Part of it is because if you go during the peak times, just here, like they have at Disneyland, they will charge you more, of course, per ticket. Also, it's harder to get a hotel or places to stay. But one of the things that's really difficult about super crowded places that you have to wait a long time for is that people, when they're waiting in line, tend to get pretty grumpy. And if they think somebody's trying to cut in line, they start really like yelling at each other, and it just becomes a terrible experience for everyone involved.
That's true. This is where planning comes into play. You plan ahead and try to go during that off season where hopefully it's not as crowded. And so you really have to take all of that into consideration. When are you going? If it's in the summertime, it may be really crowded. So take all of that into account. We've been talking about the United States, but this is not a problem just in the United States. It is a problem in other places as well. Let's find out about that in our next reading for today.
Not unique to the U.S. Venice, Italy, has been so overrun with tourists that the city recently launched a campaign urging visitors not to litter, swim in the canals, or cycle in the city center. The sightseer crush, known as over-tourism, has been noted in Barcelona, Spain, and Reykjavik, Iceland, among other popular European destinations. Top tourism destinations need to do a better job managing crowds, said Chris Petrill, a professor of tourism network and destination development at Canada's Capilano University. One solution, he said, is to encourage tourists to visit lesser-known destinations nearby. The reality is, there are many other attractions that people can see and reduce the stress on the major attractions, he said.
Okay, Charlotte, where are we traveling to now?
Somewhere that I would like to go someday, Venice, Italy.
I would like to go there as well, and there are many people, I guess, want to go there as well because it's overcrowded. It has been so overrun with tourists that the city recently launched a campaign. And what is involved with this campaign, Josh?
So this campaign is urging visitors or tourists not to litter, swim in the canals, or cycle in the city center.
Okay, if there are lots of bikes around, I mean, it's nice to be able to bike, it really is, but if there are too many, then that's an annoyance, really, because if you're walking and there are lots of bikes, that can kind of be a problem.
Yeah, exactly.
So they're trying to cut down on that, and they don't want people out swimming in the canals, and of course littering, no one wants that, right? So that's not a surprise.
It's not a surprise. And it is one of the issues with peak seasons is that when you have a lot of people, people produce a lot of trash. And so, of course, you want to be able to get rid of that trash responsibly. A, because if you don't, it's just lying around all over the place. It's dirty and it's a nasty experience for everyone. And B, you have to do something with all that trash that people produce and bring with them.
You know what I like when I'm out walking the streets? Trash cans. I get excited when I find a trash can because they're not always there. And so if I need to throw something away and there's a trash can, that's awesome. And if you have to carry it around, some people, they may litter. They may just throw it away. And so there are lots of people. That could be a huge problem. And so they're really trying to cut down on that in Venice, Italy. And then we have an interesting term here when we are referring to the sightseer crush, Charlotte.
Well, when I think of crush, well, we could talk about trash, you know, when it goes into the garbage truck, it's all crushed together into a tiny little piece. Mm-hmm. And if you look at the photo above it, I wouldn't want to be crushed in that crowd there of all those people. So it's just that feeling of being stuck in a small space with a lot of people.
That's right. And so this is the sightseer crush, and they are referring to this as over-tourism. And it has been noted in Barcelona, Spain, and Iceland, and other European destinations. So we've been talking about the United States, but it's also a problem in Europe. Many people, of course, travel to Europe, and so that's not a surprise. But what needs to happen, according to this professor at a Canadian university, Josh?
Well, so here he says that what really needs to happen is that those tourism destinations, especially the ones who are really experiencing a high volume of traffic, need to do better at managing that traffic or managing those crowds.
Okay, that's right. And this man, he's a professor of tourism network and destination development, and I was doing some research about what destination development is. Basically, it looks like they go into a place and they try to develop it for tourism. What will attract people to this location? Maybe there are some natural things there in that area that they can kind of build up and attract people there to that particular location. And so there's a lot that goes into that. And, you know, it's amazing sometimes the science that's behind a lot of what we do. We don't really realize it and the work that goes into it. But one solution is to do what, Charlotte?
Well, one solution is to encourage tourists to visit lesser known places that are nearby, and they might be quite similar, but maybe not as many people. So I think of a term that we might use, which is off the beaten path. So when there's a road that many people walk, you know, the path becomes quite worn and quite obvious. And some people really live for finding those spots off the beaten path where they can go somewhere where they feel like not everyone has seen this place before.
Yeah, I feel like there are kind of two different types of tourists. Some people who like to go to touristy areas and others who try to avoid those areas. Which do you prefer, Josh?
Well, so a little bit of both. I do enjoy going to the major destinations and you know, taking pictures of that in order to be able to share with other people, but also spend a lot of time getting sort of into the out-of-the-way areas where you have to do a little bit more work in order to figure out how to get there. Maybe you can't take a bus, you have to take a taxi, or you have to ask people where to go. So it's also very much about the journey, not necessarily about the destination.
And there's good and bad to both of those. One takes more work. The other, once you get there, it may be very crowded. And so you have to have your expectations in the right place, right? If you're expecting too much, you may be disappointed, of course.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
And so that's important. But we don't want to be stressful. It says here, the reality is there are many other attractions that people can see and reduce the stress on the major attractions. Well, they want to reduce the stress on the attractions, but I want to reduce the stress in my life as well as some of these crowds. And so, Charlotte, what they're saying, they're really trying to steer people on a different path so they can kind of spread people out a bit.
And I think part of that responsibility really is on the destinations to maybe provide information, especially when someone's looking at a trip. They're searching online, where should I go? And having good signage in the town, maybe having a good transportation network available with clear instructions of how to get the bus to this little town where this little church is. All those kinds of things would be very helpful.
That's important. Of course, with technology, with apps and so forth, that helps a lot. How about you, Charlotte? Do you like to go off the beaten path, or do you prefer to go to more touristy destinations?
Like Josh, I'm a little of both. I want to hit the greatest hits for sure, but I kind of love finding some area to explore, and maybe I'll get lost and maybe I'll find something new, and I really enjoy that.
Yeah. All right, well, we have a little more to talk about today. We have a question that we are asking. Why are there so many visitors? And this is really more specific to the United States, but let's find out the answer in our last reading for today.
Why so many visitors? The tourism boom stems from a combination of factors, including a strong U.S. economy, resurging consumer confidence, low airfares, and a jump in international visitors, especially from China.
Well, what does this article suggest, Josh? What's the reason for all of these visitors in the United States?
Well, here the article suggests there's not really just one particular reason, but there's actually a combination of reasons that this sort of issue stems from. And when it says that it stems from, or when we say that something stems from something, it means that it results from something or is caused by something.
And they use the word boom, tourism boom. Boom just means a sudden growth. A lot of times we use this with an economy. It could be a sudden economic growth. So the tourism boom stems from a combination of factors. And the first one, it has to do with the U.S. economy. And we use a word here, resurging. What does that mean?
Well, when I think of a surge, I think of water coming from a river. So resurging kind of means coming back or returning. So there have been times where the economy was maybe a little weaker and people were afraid to spend money, afraid to go on vacation. Now that that confidence is returning, that I probably won't lose my job this year. Yeah. Maybe I can afford to go on a vacation.
Right. And we use that term consumer confidence a lot when we're talking about the economy. And that just means you have good feelings about the economy. Consumer confidence is up. And so that means that people are feeling good about the economy. Also, Josh, there are lower airfares. And I haven't really experienced this myself, but I've heard of others who have found cheaper tickets recently.
Well, I think the low airfares has a couple things to do. One is, of course, it's connected to fuel prices. When fuel prices are low, people tend to travel more. Airlines are able to offer cheaper tickets because fuel is one of their biggest costs. As well as, it seems like in the last few years that there's really been a rise in low airfare airlines, where they're airlines that offer very, very simple tickets, very simple seats. They end up charging you for any bag that you want to take on, but because they're able to do that, they're really able to offer sort of discount prices, which a lot of people find very attractive.
All right. And there's also, we see here, a jump in international visitors, especially from China. And so, Charlotte, that means more people.
Right. And China has a very large population, and so they have a lot of tourists to provide to the world.
That's right. All right. Well, there are many reasons why people are flocking to these places all across the world. And I think one key point to remember is to plan ahead, like Josh and Charlotte. They are planners. Don't be like me. Don't wait till the last minute. Plan ahead, and hopefully you can avoid some of the large crowds. Well, thanks for joining us for day one of our travel article. Tomorrow, we will continue our travel article, but we will talk about your bags as you check them in at the airport. What should you do with your electronics? We have some tips for you, so be sure to join us tomorrow. Until then, this is Brandon,
Charlotte,
and Josh
saying goodbye.
Goodbye.